From WYPR in Baltimore, this is The Signal. I'm Aaron Henkin. Pay a visit to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame sometime and look up the first R&B group ever inducted. You might think you're in the wrong museum. They're called the Orioles, but they've got nothing to do with baseball. They actually predate Baltimore's current sports team, and they've definitely got better records. These Orioles hit the music scene back in 1948, and they introduced the world to a new vocal style that would come to be known as doo-wop. Incredibly, this group is still around and still singing, as you're about to hear. I'm happy to have you with me this hour as we head now to a little red brick house in Capitol Heights, Maryland, down a set of stairs and into the basement hangout of Diz Russell and his fellow legendary Orioles.
This tune, Shaboom, was done originally by Carl Feaster and the Chords of the Bronx. And they started this on the street corners, like in those days, everybody, including me, we started on the street corners. And it was similar to the comic book, Captain Marvel. Every time Billy Batson would get in trouble, he'd say, what word would he say, fellas?
Shazam!
So the guys got so every time they see a fine girl walking down the street, they'd say, Shaboom! So let's do this, fellas. Shaboom.
Life could be a dream. Life could be a dream. Do-do-do-do, shaboom.
Life could be a dream. Shaboom. If I could take you up to paradise up above.
Shaboom.
If you would tell me I'm the only one that you love.
Life could be a dream. Sweetheart, hello, hello again. Shaboom is over, we meet again. Shaboom.
Hey, Donnie, ding, dong. Langa, 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 whoa, whoa, zip.
Life could be a dream. Life could be a dream, sweetheart.
Well, now, every time I just look at you, something is on my mind. If you'd say that you love me too, oh, baby, things would be fine.
Oh, life could be a dream. Shaboom, if I could take you up to paradise up above. Shaboom, and tell me, darling, I'm the only one that you love. Life could be a dream. Sweetheart, hello, hello again. Shaboom is hoping we meet again. Shaboom.
Hey, Donnie, ding, dong. A lang, a lang, a lang, a lang, a whoa, whoa, zip.
Oh, life could be a dream. Life could be a dream, sweetheart.
Hey, now, every time I just look at you, something is on my mind. If you'd say that you love me too, come here, baby, things would be fine.
Oh, life could be a dream. Shaboom, if I could take you up to paradise up above. Shaboom, and tell me, darling, I'm the only one that you love. Life could be a dream. Sweetheart, hello, hello again. Shaboom is hoping we meet again. Shaboom.
Hey, Donnie, ding, dong. A lang, a lang, a lang, a lang, a whoa, whoa, zip.
Life could be a dream. Life could be a dream. Do.
The essence of doo-wop is the soul of a lyric, so that if you say, it broke my heart, that singer should be able to sing, it broke my heart, in a manner that we can almost feel our own hearts breaking.
You had the big band era, and the teenagers, we had our sound, and we told a story with our sound, and with that story, you would hear a lot of the groups having that doo-wop in the background, in the vocal harmonies.
Doo-doo-wop, doo-doo-wop, doo-doo-wop. On every corner in the city, there was a group. Some was better than others, and the better ones, like Little Anthony Imperials, Frank and I and Teenagers, the Orioles, the Clovers, the Drifters, those guys who really made doo-wop what it was, because the harmony was so tight and so pretty.
And a lot of people called what the groups were singing doo-wop, doo-wop, but actually it started rhythm and blues in the church. Little Richard said, if rock and roll had a mother and father, it had to be rhythm and blues. And doo-wop was the baby.
77-year-old Diz Russell, 68-year-old Raymond Allen Jr., 64-year-old David Warren, and 62-year-old Clark Walker. The surviving members of the pioneering doo-wop group, The Orioles. Welcome again to a special edition of The Signal. I'm Aaron Henkin, joined in studio this hour by Cliff Murphy, folklorist with the Maryland State Arts Council and co-director of Maryland Traditions. Cliff and I recently had the pleasure of spending an afternoon with these living legends, hanging out in the basement rehearsal studio with the group's leader, Diz Russell, at his home in Capitol Heights, Maryland. First of all, Cliff Murphy, welcome back to the air. Good to have you back on,
Thanks,
on the
Aaron.
Program.
Thanks, Aaron. It's great to be here.
We had a blast down there. We met some real characters, chief among them, Diz Russell. We're going to hear more about Diz and sort of his initial contact with this band, the Orioles. But before we get into band genealogy, let me just take advantage of your folklorist status and get a thumbnail history from you on Doo-wopology 101.
You may be the first person to ever ask me about doo-wopology. Doo-wop really is a style of music that it's a subgenre of rhythm and blues or even early rock and roll. The term doo-wop didn't get used until the 70s by DJs who were in the nostalgia, you know, market. But it really describes a type of music that relies on a lot of these lyrics that really mimic musical instruments more than they actually say words. It started out as a street music in these industrial cities in the mid-Atlantic, places like Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Newport News, Virginia, New York City, Philadelphia, and the Orioles, the group that Diz is in and continues to lead today. The Orioles are considered by many people to be the first doo-wop group, and some even say the first rhythm and blues group.
Now, you mentioned this music being of street corner origin up and down the mid-Atlantic. It's also, as we're about to hear from Diz Russell, he told us a little bit about his youth in Cleveland and his own street corner singing origins. Let's turn things over here now to Diz Russell.
I'll tell you something that used to happen in Cleveland. I came up in a gang group. We had a couple of fighters in the group. I was a welterweight, 147 pounds. And we would fight at the drop of a hat. The guys from the east side over to the west side, you know what I'm talking about. We'd rumble. And we had reputations in the ring. I didn't have too big a reputation, but I could defend myself. Everybody said, well, look at him. He's got his face all bruised and he even got lost teeth and whatnot. Let's out-sing those guys over there on the other side of town. And that's how we would war. And you stand on the corner, and a guy come up and say, hey, there's a guy on the east side that could blow you guys off of this corner. He could sing so good. We said, go get him. Go get him. Bring him down here. We stopped fighting each other and started singing each other.
A diddly bobo, 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 day.
Sing it all night long.
A diddly bobo, 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 bobo day.
Rock it all night long.
A diddly bobo, 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 bobo day.
Look at here. I heard your man was in town.
I heard your man's in town.
Heard your man was in town.
I heard your man's in town.
I heard your man was in town. Got me walking around. I'm Alabama bound.
I heard your man's in town.
Oh, singing now.
A bop 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 shiddily wop. 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 A bop 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 shiddily wop.
I give you all my dough.
I give you all my dough.
Cause I loved you so.
Because I loved you so.
Because I loved you so.
So
I love you so. Baby, please don't go.
I used to get my hair fixed and cut and whatnot on 7th Avenue in New York. And the first chair facing the window as you pass by, you couldn't sit in that first chair because that was for the stars. So I'm coming down 7th Avenue and I see Duke Ellington sitting in the first chair. I said, well, I can get in the second chair. Duke had his newspaper and he says, young man, you still singing? I said, yeah, Duke, ever since you got us started. He says, answer me, what means don't you know I love you so, Kokomo? I say, that's the new thing that they got out with the singers now. He says, it sounds to me like it's junk. I said, well, a man of your caliber can call it junk. I said, but I remember somebody made a song, and it said, it don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. Doo-wop, 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 doo-wop. He folded his newspaper and started out the door. He said, I'll see you on Broadway, young man. And kept walking.
The voice of Diz Russell. Diz and his fellow singers are the surviving members of the trailblazing doo-wop group, the Orioles. I'm Aaron Henkin. More with Diz and the gang after the break. And by the way, do yourself a favor and click over to our website this week, wypr.org/thesignal. There is a beautiful multimedia video slideshow of our visit posted up there, compliments of photographer Shane Carpenter. Check it out and stay tuned. Our special doo-wop edition of The Signal continues in a moment.
It don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing.
Welcome back to The Signal. I'm Aaron Henkin. It's a special edition of our program this week, coming to you from the basement hangout and rehearsal space of the landmark doo-wop group, the Orioles. They hit the scene back in 1948 and made a big splash with a new vocal style that would later come to be known as doo-wop. The original members may be gone, but the band has a long lineage of singers who've kept the music alive. The Orioles' current lineup includes a quartet of relative youngsters, Diz Russell, age 77, Raymond Allen Jr., age 66, David Warren, age 64, and the baby of the bunch, 62-year-old Clark Walker.
My name is Clark Walker. I'm fortunate enough at this point in my life to be the lead singer on this particular song. This song has a very, very special history about it because this was the first hit of the Orioles, recorded in 1948. That particular week that it came out, they sold over 30,000 copies of this particular song. So this was the one that really, really put the Orioles on the map. So I'm very proud to be able to do the song.
Does she love me? It's too soon to know. Can I believe her when she tells me so? Is she fooling? Is it all a game? Am I the fire or just another flame?
If she wants to go,
I'll cry when she's gone. I won't die while I live on and on. If it's so, it's too soon, way too soon, too.
I've just got to
know. American music history, living on in the voices of Clark Walker, Diz Russell, David Warren, and Raymond Allen Jr., the surviving members of the influential doo-wop group, The Orioles. Welcome again to a special edition of The Signal. I'm Aaron Hinken, joined in studio this hour by Cliff Murphy, folklorist with the Maryland State Arts Council and co-director of Maryland Traditions. Cliff and I had the honor of recording some of the Orioles' songs and stories recently during a visit to their basement hangout in Capitol Heights, Maryland. And Cliff, tell us now a bit about the genesis of this band, its Baltimore origins, and this charismatic founding member, the late Sonny Till.
If you're in the camp of people who credit the Orioles as starting doo-wop, then the music was born on Pennsylvania Avenue here in Baltimore. Sonny Till was actually named Erlington Tillman, which is a pretty cool name as it is. You wouldn't think he would need a stage name with that. And he apparently, as an infant, was an Al Jolson fan. His family had this record, Climb Up on My Knee, Sonny Boy, by Al Jolson. And Sonny Till, you know, would always ask his sister to play the record, and so she gave him the name Sonny. And when he started his stage career, he shortened Tillman to Till. So he's Sonny Till, and he is somebody who just has clearly has a special place in the opinions of singers of early rhythm and blues music and among women who used to go to these shows. I mean, he was not only a charismatic singer, you know, he had this incredible stage presence, but also had an incredible voice. And the music started out on a street corner. And this is kind of, you know, in the mythology of doo-wop, you know, it's like the equivalent of a country singer who grows up as a cowboy. You know, it's if you're a doo-wop singer who started out on a street corner, that is as authentic as it gets. And that's what Sonny Till did. He had a group named the Vibrant Airs. And in 1948, the group went to New York City to record, changed their name to the Orioles after the Maryland State Bird. And this was 6 years before the baseball team moved to town.
Sonny Till, no longer with us. He passed away in 1981. So our friend Diz Russell is essentially the longest link back to the real origins of the band, the Orioles. And he certainly is not lacking in the charisma department in his own right, in the sense that he's got great stories about his own childhood and his own coming up. I want to go ahead and turn things over now to Mr. Russell, Diz Russell, as he talks here a little bit about his own childhood and his musical education.
My cousins, we used to get down in the basement somewhere, and we put on our little amateur show, singing and trying to do a little harmony and whatnot. We get broom handles and stick them down in something that would be the microphone. We could pose, we could do our little dances and whatnot, and we were kids.
When did you go from amateur night in the basement to real microphones and performing?
We moved to Cleveland, Ohio. That's where I was raised. And I was dating this girl, and she used to say, "Are you going to walk me home?" I said, "Yeah, I'll walk you home." She says, "Well, I got to go to choir practice after we get out of school at 3 o'clock. I said, "Oh, boy." And I never will forget the choir director's name. Her name was Miss Winifred Sheeler. And you didn't give her no guff because she was a tough woman. And I'd come up to where the choir would be singing and whatnot. And I'd say, "Miss Sheeler, is Barbara Johnson ready come out of the choir, because I got to walk her home. We live down the street from each other." She says, "You can stand out here in the hall for a couple of minutes. We're getting ready to adjourn." got one more song to do. I say, well, I got to stand out here. She says, yes, you do. I don't want you in there while they're singing. And she says, wait a minute, where did you get that voice? I say, what voice? She said, that baritone voice that just rolls out of your throat. I say, yeah, well, I've been singing for a long time. She says, you're going to be in my choir. I say, no, I'm not. She says, you will be in my choir. She says, you know why? I say, why? She said, because Barbara will be in the same choir. I said, damn, she's right.
A little window there, Cliff Murphy, into the real source of inspiration for Diz Russell as he began his singing career. Now, Cliff, talk to me about where Diz Russell went from there, from high school days singing in a choir to meeting the legendary Sonny Till and the Orioles, this bona fide, successful doo-wop band.
So Diz Russell's road to becoming a member of the Orioles is somewhat complicated. But basically, Sonny Till is this recurring character that just won't go away. First, Diz Russell takes his girlfriend to a concert in Cleveland, and she swoons so much over seeing Sonny Till on stage that he gets annoyed and leaves her at the concert. And then shortly after that, he winds up in a singing group, and they go out for a gig in St. Louis, which is several hundred miles from Cleveland. They get to the club in St. Louis, and the club owner says, what? You don't have a show here tonight. But if you guys want to do a couple songs, you know, get up on stage and you can do it. So they perform. Someone says, hey, if you, you know, you should check out the Orioles. They're in town. They go check out the Orioles. And Sonny Till hears Diz Russell's group sing and says, hey, if you guys ever wind up in New York City, come and find me.
That's exactly what they do.
Right.
They eventually pack up their car, head to New York, wander around some various clubs until they do, in fact, encounter Sonny Till up there. He says, hey, where you guys been? You know, I've been waiting for you.
Right. And several key things have happened at this point. They get to New York and they meet Duke Ellington. They meet Joe Louis, the heavyweight champion. They meet several kind of key figures in the Harlem entertainment scene, and they get a spot on the Apollo. They get up on stage, they play their show on the Apollo. People are amazed. Jerry Wexler, who's the legendary producer for Atlantic Records, hears them play, and they get a contract with Atlantic Records. At this point, they're called the Four J's, and they sign their deal.
But then their buddy told them there was too many bands with bird names. So they're walking down the street, and they see a shop called Regal Shoe Shop.
Yeah. So
and they say, oh, okay, we'll call ourselves the Regals.
Right.
So then, yeah, Diz Russell becomes the Regals.
And they record, and we'll hear one of these recordings towards the end of the show. It sounds great. So, I mean, they look like they're set to just go.
Now, enter Sonny Till of the Orioles with a band that's basically kind of falling apart, a backup band.
Right, so this is 1954, and in 1953, the Orioles had their biggest hit, which was this song called Crying in the Chapel. So when Diz runs into Sonny Till in Harlem, Sonny Till doesn't know it at the time, but it's just on the other side of the peak of his fame. And he sees Diz and he says, hey, I thought you guys were going to call me when he got to New York. Right. And within hours, Sonny Till has talked to Diz Russell's group's manager and has bought out their contract. And now they work for Sonny Till. So they're members of the Orioles.
Overnight, it happens like that. And as you're about to hear, their life gets shifted into a radically different gear as far as like fame and screaming girls are concerned. This is Diz Russell, explaining the first show they played with Sonny Till of the Orioles.
The first job we had was in Connecticut, at a theater in Connecticut. We went down to F&F Clothers, and everybody got the uniforms, you know. Sonny bought the uniforms for everybody. We call a uniform the suits that you wear.
You remember what you were wearing that night?
Yes.
How'd you guys look?
We looked good. We had brown tuxedo-style suits with the gold stripe down the side. And we had the collar was gold. So we had a bodyguard, Detroit Carson. he was an ex-prize fighter. And Sonny says, anybody bothers you, tell them to see Detroit. And he had the reputation he could knock a man out with one punch. And then we had a chauffeur, Chester Smith. You met Chester, didn't you?
Yeah, New York.
Yeah, Chester was our driver. Yeah. So here's what happened. I told Chester in Detroit, I said, hey, man, I'm backstage. I said, I'm hungry. I'm going up front, but you know how they used to have the hot dog stands in the theater? I said, I'm going to get me a hot dog and a soda. Chester in Detroit said, no, you don't. Not in that suit. I said, what do you mean, You can't go out in the audience with that suit on. He said, if you want anything, let us know and we'll go get it for you. That's the policy of the Orioles nowadays. And I said, okay, well, I'll wait until you dudes come back and, you know, and then I'll, maybe you bring me something back when you come back. So I'm sitting there in the dressing room by myself. The rest of the guys done gone down the street or something, out the back door. And I'm saying, the hell with this. I'm hungry. I'm going up and getting me a hot dog and a Coke. I came out of the door, you know, the little side door in the theater with where the stage is? I came out of the side door. And girls were lined up everywhere. They say, there's one of them there. And I said, wait a minute, girls. Now, wait a minute. No, no, no. I just want to get a hot dog. He said, you got a hot dog right here, baby. Give me that suit you got on. They stripped me, tore my suit, got my ring and my watch, my shoes. And I found out something about that. If you got four or five women on you, they're very strong. If you got four or five women, don't think your macho image doesn't come out. You start saying, hey, please don't hit me again. You know, they took my watch, ring, everything. I was raggedy as a church mouse.
I got to stop you here and just ask, like, up to this point in your career, you know, you're a successful musician and, yeah. You know, you wink at the ladies, they wink back to mm-hmm. you. And then all of a sudden you're in this whole new world where mm-hmm. you walk out a door mm-hmm. and it's a mob scene. I mean, what yes. was going through your mind about what you had signed on for?
Well, I knew the reputation of the Orioles and I knew that they attracted women. Now, I'm a church boy, really, honest, and I liked women, but I didn't like to, not in droves, you know. And they took off my shoes. I had to get a brand new pair of shoes. And where we bought our uniforms from, they had everybody's measurement because a lot of entertainers bought there because they got the same thing that we got stripped. So you could call F&F Clothers and they'd have you another one out in a day.
You saw me crying in the chapel. The tears I shed were tears of joy. I know the meaning of contentment. I am happy with Lord. Just a plain and simple chapel where humble people go to pray. I pray the Lord that I'll grow stronger as I live from day to day. Oh, I've searched, but I couldn't find nowhere on earth to find peace of mind. Now I'm happy in the chapel, where people are wonderful. Yes, we gather in the chapel just to sing and praise the Lord. Oh, 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 oh. You'll search and you'll search, but you troubles to the chapel. Get down on your knees and pray, and then your burdens will be lighter. And you will surely find.
Say it again.
Surely find.
Again and again.
Ooh. And you will surely find. Way.
Diz Russell, Raymond Allen Jr., David Warren, and Clark Walker. The surviving members of the seminal doo-wop group, the Orioles, Crying in the Chapel. The name of that Orioles song later made famous by Elvis Presley. I'm Aaron Henkin. More music and stories with the Orioles after the break. And if you happen to be at a computer, click over to our website, wypr.org/thesignal. Our photographer, Shane Carpenter, has put up a gorgeous multimedia video slideshow of our visit with the Orioles at their basement hangout in Capitol Heights, Maryland. The website again, wypr.org/thesignal. Our special doo-wop edition of The Signal continues in a moment.
To me, a good doo-wop song, if it's slow, it really puts you in a real mellow mood because the harmony is so sweet and so pretty. And then, you know, a lot of people think, this harmony is easy. That's far from the truth. So when you hear a good doo-wop song, you really listen. If it's sung right, you're going to smile like y'all were smiling. Make you feel good.
If it's a fast song, it should make you just want to jump. If it's a slow song, it should make you just want to swoon a little bit. But a good song should make you do something.
We're like a family. Clark, Ray, Diz, and myself. And, all of us have our own unique leads. My range is from baritone, bass, second tenor. And with Father Time, I think it kind of took a little toll on my range. So I still got the voice, but it kind of brought the range down a little bit. And actually, it mellowed out, like they said, a good aged wine and cheese. It basically has gotten right mellow now.
Oh, well, I'm sitting in la-la waiting for my ya-ya, sitting in la-la waiting for my ya-ya, it may sound funny, but I don't believe she's coming on, Yeah, baby, hurry, don't keep me worry on. Well, baby, hurry, don't keep me worry on. You know that I love you, oh, how I love you. Come on, fellas.
It's sitting in la la, waiting for my ya ya.
Boom, boom, boom.
Sitting in la la, waiting for my ya ya.
Baby,
it may sound funny, but I don't believe she's coming home.
Yeah, baby, hurry, don't keep me worrying.
Well, baby, hurry, don't keep me worrying.
You know that I love you, oh, just sitting in la la, waiting for my ya ya, sitting in la la, waiting for my ya ya,
You know that I love you. Oh, how I love you.
Oh, a cappella.
Sitting in la la, waiting for my ya ya. Oh,
oh, oh, oh.
Sitting in la la, waiting for my ya ya. Oh,
but
you know that I love you. Oh, how I love you. Oh, just sitting in the la la, waiting for my ya ya. Oh,
oh, oh, oh,
sitting in the la la, waiting for my ya ya. Oh,
but
you know that I love you. You know that I love you, oh, how I love you. Oh, you know that I love you, oh, how I love you. Oh, you know that I love you, oh, how I love you.
Baritone David Warren taking the lead on that one, along with Raymond Allen Jr., Clark Walker, and Diz Russell, the current members of a band with more than 60 years of history under its belt, the Orioles. It's a special doo-wop edition of The Signal this hour, coming to you from the Orioles' basement hangout in Capitol Heights, Maryland. I'm Aaron Henkin, joined this hour by Cliff Murphy, folklorist with the Maryland State Arts Council and co-director of Maryland Traditions. Cliff and I recently spent an afternoon on location with these living legends, and we basically got schooled in doo-wopology by the best in the business. Now, Cliff, we've heard so far this hour about the street corner origins of the Orioles, this fateful meeting of the fellow singers Sonny Till and Diz Russell. We've heard some pretty wild stories about crazed fans literally tearing the suits off these guys. And so now, Cliff, we're up to a point in the story where their career arc kind of winds down. Help us take a step back here, put your folklorist hat on, and help us understand what it meant to be a doo-wop band from a business perspective in that era. I mean, how hard did you work? How much money did you make? Who got a cut of that money? And basically, you know, what kind of a lifespan did you have?
Doo-wop is viewed through this lens of nostalgia that is just completely at odds with the reality of these guys' daily lives. They worked like crazy. You know, they drove to the point of death in some instances. You know, I mean, the first incarnation of the Orioles, one of the guys died on their way home from a show, drove off the road, and caused, I think, three of the guys to quit the band. They wind up signing these record deals that are really not making them rich.
These are very talented guys, but also very vulnerable guys.
Yes.
In the sense that they just don't know how extremely they can be exploited.
Or they know that they're being exploited, and they're hoping that they can still achieve success despite the odds, you know? I mean, I guess that when you look at the way that the entertainment industry worked at that period of time, there really wasn't a good option. There was no equitable anything. And, you know, keep in mind, we had talked earlier that these are vocal groups. You know, they pride themselves as vocal groups, not as bands. And the way that this worked is that a doo-wop group essentially was a vocal group that, when they signed a deal, was paired with a studio band. So you're taking this street music and you're kind of turning it into something new. It's being produced into something different. Sonny Till, Diz Russell, these guys were in some ways living better and earning better money than they may have otherwise.
And so when you come from a situation like that, the fact that you have a booking agent that's going to take 10%, a manager that's going to take 10%, a record company that may or may not be straight with you when they tell you the record count as far as your royalties are concerned with your 5 cents a record for the if you've written the song, those things don't seem like that big of a deal. It all looks like a pretty rosy picture. You get into business, and then, as we're about to hear, after a certain number of years, you've worked hard, you've sold millions of records, and then you just sort of end up at a spot on the tour, and things dissolve relatively quickly.
And the incredible injustice of all of this is that the Orioles are a group that, in essence, spawned a genre. They recorded the song It's Too Soon to Know in 1948, and so many things grew out of that. Many people were enriched, literally, by this genre, and the Orioles, I mean, the wheels almost literally come off in 1959.
This is Diz Russell's commentary on, I guess, the band's last tour stop.
We got to St. Louis again. We came back to St. Louis, and we were booked with Jackie Brinston. So we had big fancy hotel. We had a big brand new Chrysler that Sonny had traded in the Cadillac for. And we parked the Chrysler in front of the hotel. Sonny came up to my room, because Sonny was the leader of the group, tapped on my door. He said, the car is gone. I said, gone? Who stole it? Did you call the police? He said, I'm going downstairs now and call the police. The car is gone. Somebody's taking it. So I said, well, I'll go down with you. And we went down to the desk, called the police, and they sent a squad car out. And the guy says, oh, yeah, you purchased that car brand new in Florida, didn't you? Sonny said, yes, I did. He says, well, you've been on the road, haven't you? He said, yeah. He says, you're 5 months behind. And your car's on the way back to Florida. I said, well, I will be damned. By that time, I got a draft notice to go in the Army.
Now, for Diz Russell, I should say that induction to military service never actually happened on account of a couple of medical conditions that he incurred. But Cliff Murphy, Diz eventually sort of put music behind him, at least for a while, and settled into a pretty routine life with a marriage and a house and kids and a business. But, you know, as we're going to hear, there's something about that showbiz bug when it bites you that doesn't really quite want to let you go.
One of the most poignant things that Diz Russell shared with us while we were there is this feeling that, you know, there's a street corner somewhere where maybe he could find the guys and sing on it, or it's an urge to sing that just never goes away. And I think that when you look at the Orioles, one of the things that you see is the creation of a group that now, since Sonny Till's death in 1981, really kind of almost works as a university, you know, of doo-wop. It's a place where these younger musicians come along, they join, they learn these stories, they learn technique, they learn all of these things that have been passed on to them, that have been passed on to Diz Russell directly from Sonny Till, directly from an originator and an innovator, a guy who took this gospel music tradition and took it out onto the streets and secularized it.
And sort of extending that university metaphor, it's always hard to pass up a class reunion. And the clip we're about to hear, I think, is a story Diz Russell tells about sometime in the 1970s when he heard again from his old buddy Sonny Till after a long absence.
And I met Sonny again later on, several years later. He called me from Las Vegas, Nevada, and he says, I'm coming your way, and I want you to sing with me. And by that time, I owned a couple of stores. I had a business of my own. I said, I can't sing with you, Sonny. I'm a businessman now. He says, I've already signed you up as one of the Orioles. I said, I know, I've been seeing my face on all these posts around here. I hadn't sang with Sonny for years, you know. Show business is like a disease, man. Once you do it, you want to do it again. It's very difficult to get rid of it. You might say, well, I'm not going to sing ever again. And somebody say, come on over here and sing a part here. You're back in again.
What do you think is so addictive about it?
The fact that you always feel in yourself, I haven't done my best. There's another place I can go with this. Maybe I can sing something by myself. Maybe I can get a couple of guys and we can do, you know, you always want to hit that stage. And we used to call it, you know, we used to call it the lights. You want to see them lights again, you know. And even when you get to be an old man, you still want to see the lights, you know.
This spoken by a man who still performs.
Yes, and I still perform. My son had gotten to be 16 years old, and he saw me upstairs in my room putting my clothes on, my suit. He said, where are you going, Dad? I said, I'm going to sing. He says, what? I said, I'm going to be on stage. Man, you can't sing. I said, I can sing, believe it. And I said, oh my God, this kid never saw me sing. Because he'd been born and grown up. And he never saw me sing. I said, you never saw me sing? Nope, nope. So we went on and did that Friday at the Howard Theater.
Did your son come and see you sing?
He saw the show, and he tapped on the dressing room door. And he had tears in his eyes. I said, well, now what's wrong? He said, I never thought my father was an entertainer. He said, I just saw you sing. I said, yeah, I told you. He says, look at you. You got makeup. You're in the dressing room. I said, mm-hmm. How long you been an entertainer? I said, long before you were born. I'm proud that I'm a part of American history. I'm so proud, I don't know what to do. If my father were alive, I guess he'd be proud of me too, because he always told me, you're going to be a part of history one day. I said, oh man, how come I'm going to be a part of history? And I'm standing on the corner singing. You know?
The thoughts and recollections of 77-year-old Diz Russell, the oldest surviving member of the legendary doo-wop band, the Orioles. I want to thank Diz for inviting us into his home and sharing his life and his music with us this hour. Thanks also to Diz's fellow singers, the current lineup of the Orioles, David Warren, Raymond Allen Jr., and Clark Walker. As we get ready to wrap up our program this hour, I want to invite you again to check out our website this week, wypr.org/thesignal. That's where you can have a look at an excellent multimedia video slideshow, a web companion piece from our visit with the Orioles, put together by the talented photographer Shane Carpenter. So again, check it out at wypr.org/thesignal. This episode of The Signal has been a special co-production done in partnership between myself and Cliff Murphy, folklorist with the Maryland State Arts Council and co-director of Maryland Traditions. And Cliff Murphy, I want to thank you once again for helping to bring these voices to the airwaves and for helping to introduce our listeners to a legend right here in our own backyard.
It's been a pleasure.
For 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station, I'm Aaron Henkin. Thanks for listening.
I got the water boiling, baby. I'm going to cook your goose.